I'm just loading up the show notes now, though.
Okay.
Why? For some reason, it's taken a while. I don't know.
You have a lot of notes?
Sure. Does that make you feel better? Tons of notes. I don't know. I don't know the ins and the outs here.
I thought you still you were using cue cards.
Yeah.
Like your fifth grade public speaking
end
assignment.
Just end it. Hello and welcome to episode 351 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam
in Vancouver, British Columbia. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was waiting for that.
Well, no, me too, turns out. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's going on? Not even what's going on, Adam, before we even get there. Amazon.
Yeah.
Help us out. Click through our site at twohosers.com. You'll find the links on the right-hand side or down below if it's on the web. I've tried to figure that out a long time ago. Cannot bring the links up top. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Cannot get the ones and the zeros to cooperate.
Okay.
It's not for lack of trying. So, yeah, check us out. Click through our site. Takes you to Amazon and helps us out.
Usually when I go to buy something on Amazon, I go to our website and look for it on the top, and because it's not there, I just decide to not bother.
Don't even buy it?
Yeah.
Just nothing?
No, I buy it. I just can't bother to scroll down far enough to find the link.
Well, on our website, it is there. So I'm guessing you're not buying it on your phone. So if you're on the interwebs, then you can see it just fine.
Okay.
There's too many variables in life.
Right.
What happened to vanilla chocolate or ice vanilla ice cream or chocolate? Like, you can make up your mind quickly.
Why would you have vanilla or chocolate when there's wasabi?
This is what I'm getting at. This is what I'm getting at. Your life was fine. Is there wasabi?
Yeah, there is.
What, ice cream?
Yeah.
Why?
I have not had it. I just saw it.
I think you're making it up.
No, not at all. Not making it up.
Yeah. All right. It shouldn't exist. Anyway, Amazon. Click through. Help us out. I've not bought anything on Amazon for a while, so I can't regale you with any great yarns about my purchases.
Okay.
Yeah. You?
No.
Good.
I haven't bought
it. Because those stories are boring.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
Another day. Another day in the life.
Not another day. It's not another day.
What do you mean?
It's a special day.
Today?
First day of fall.
Oh, I was not even aware.
No, I'm telling you now, though.
I know.
Yeah.
So now it's special.
My son was excited about this, actually. I guess they must have talked about it at kindergarten ahead of time.
Okay.
And so yesterday, he got home. He's, you know, Daddy, is it Herbst? That's how you say autumn in German is Herbst. And no, Sam, it's not. Actually, it's tomorrow. Oh, okay. Couldn't wait. Then went to bed. The last thing he said to me before, tomorrow is Herbst, Dad. Said, yeah, it is. And then he woke up this morning at like 5 in the morning. Came and woke me and my wife up. Can we go downstairs? Like, he wants to go downstairs. I want to go see Herbst. Well, it's kind of the same as it was when you went to bed, buddy. He was expecting it to just be like golden, orange, and yellow colors outside. And
yeah, leaves everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wildly disappointed, the kid. So, anyways, autumnal equinox, everybody. Enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah. What's going on besides that with you? Nothing. Honestly, just the run of the mill.
Working all the time. I'm incredibly busy with work, so I haven't had much time to do anything else.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just that time of year in the world of physiotherapy. You know, September is an insane time. It always
really?
Is. Yeah, it's because in the summer, in the last month, let's say, of August, people still get injured.
Water skiing, probably.
They're busy with their summer lives and summer activities and vacations and whatnot. So they tend to leave their injuries. Now, so those injuries are out there. They exist. They're just not necessarily being dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the month of September, people are still getting injured.
Right.
Except for they have now the time to come in. So it basically what happens every September is once kids go back to school and everyone's lives return to normal is just this massive influx of patients all at the same time, which makes for incredibly busy times for me. I mean, I'm always busy, but I'm ridiculously busy. Yeah.
Speaking of that, when can I start running?
Right now.
With my knee.
Get on the treadmill. Just do it.
No, I don't have a treadmill.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to go run, but my knee, there's still pain. It's still sore.
Then you shouldn't run.
Really? Just automatically?
Kind of how it goes, yeah. Because running has the most impact. And so in terms of any activity, that's the quickest way to make your knee worse, would be do activities with impact.
Or
so
stronger.
You could make it stronger. You'd ride the bike. You could do, I don't know if this exists in Germany, but the elliptical trainer. You would do the similar loading things with less impact.
Right.
You know, swimming would be good, deep water running, all kinds of things outside of running, just not running. Yeah, you have to be able to do it without pain. Otherwise, I can guarantee you it's just going to go backwards.
No, I'm sure I can run without pain. It's other stuff is the pain. The actual impact doesn't seem to be the issue. If I keep everything in line, it's all fine. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk off the air about what's going on with my knee.
I'm a big believer in this is the last thing I'll say, but it kind of applies to everything when it comes to the human body and physiology. I'm a big believer in acclimatization. I mean, our bodies need to be stressed in a way that is tolerable, and then as it becomes easy, then you increase the load and the demand. And this works for pretty much everything. And so if there's discomfort during an activity like running, you would back off and do one thing slower, whether it's walking, jogging, and then you would do that and you incrementally just increase the load and our body adapts. It's all about sort of forced adaptation. Now, if you try to go beyond what your body is comfortable with right to begin with, you can if you just barely go above, that's fine. Our body adapts pretty quickly. But if you try to push too hard, then you just go backwards. So there's a happy medium to forced adaptation. But I always say with running, you know, just start with the bike for a few days and just, you know, crank on the resistance. And as long as you're recovering, you know, by a day later, that's the other thing. You can have soreness afterwards. You can even have soreness the next day. But roughly 24 hours later, I believe you should have recovered from your previous activity when you're going through a rehab for an injury. So as long as you're recovering 24 hours later, your body said, check the box, that was fine, and then you can try a little bit more. And that's kind of the safe method. So whether it's running, jogging, think of it in terms of recovery, not whether or not there's some discomfort.
Remember, though, I am kind of a tough guy.
Well, that might be, but you also have to be realistic with, did you feel any worse a day later than you did before you did that activity?
Well, I haven't been running yet.
So there you go. So that's kind of the
safe guideline. I waited to ask you, man. I was being responsible.
There you go. 24 hours.
We'll talk off the air. Because
I don't have time for you. I got other things to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm just having an itch somewhere that I can't really... I don't know. I don't know why it's itchy.
Get your son to help you out there.
Yeah. All right. Okay, first day of fall, check. Hey, I bought a new camera.
Wow. I'm going to guess it wasn't like a fancy new digital because you would have led with that.
I put I was saving it. I thought everyone wanted to hear more about my knee than they did the camera.
It's new to you, but I'm going to guess it's an old camera.
It's an old camera.
Yeah.
Very old. Was walking in town with my son or my daughter, I forget now. Doesn't matter, does it? No.
No.
Pretty sure it's my daughter. We're walking through town. And whenever I walk through town, I always pop into this one camera store right in the Marktplatz. And they have a big cabinet with used camera equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it kind of rotates. They seem to move units. I don't know. It rotates through pretty rapidly. So I always, whenever I walk by, I just pop in and see. They have some film stuff. They have some digital stuff, lenses, all like just a wide Variety.
New word, but
variety
I like
variety and array. What am I, the president?
I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. Just made up a country right there. But anyway, so they have a wide array of things. And so I happened to, I saw one sitting there, like a little camera, a little, it's called a Yashica Electro.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I know the brand name, but I don't know the model.
So they make, they made a camera, a cool little rangefinder camera that it's like a Canonette or like a Leica, but way, way, way not as good as a Leica, obviously. But so it's a, more like a Canonette than anything. You, okay. You've seen my Canonette, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what it is.
So it's like, so this one's like that, except smaller. And I thought, oh man, like this is kind of cool. I love these little rangefinder cameras. So it was $20, and I said, all right, great, you know. And I asked the girl working there, like, does it work? She said, well, we don't have a roll of film, but you know, we checked it out. We think it works, and if it doesn't, bring it back. So like, so you don't get that kind of a guarantee at the flea market.
Right.
So for $20, I said, all right, no question, I'm going to buy this. Like, I want this camera. And so I picked it up, get it home, and realized, I kind of checked it out in the store, but didn't spend too much time on it because it had the 100% money-back guarantee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I picked it up and got home and realized it's actually a Yashica Electro MC, which is essentially the super miniature version of the Yashica Electro.
Okay.
So still takes 35.
Which doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah,
it will. It takes 35 mil film. Well, it is tiny. It legitimately fits in the palm of my hand.
Okay.
Like in terms of not counting the width, obviously it's much wider, especially with the lens. I think it's probably smaller than your iPhone. Except for the thickness, obviously. It's like probably 7 iPhones stacked onto each other, but part of that's lens. Anyway, it's really tiny, and takes full 35 mil film. So you know that's great, full frame, 40 mil lens. And it's works 100% aperture priority.
Okay.
So meaning you said it's got a meter built in, which and it still works. And so basically you punch in the you dial in the aperture that you want to shoot at. Once you dial in the ISO for the meter. Of the film you're using, and then you just set your aperture, and it handles mm-hmm. the shutter speed for you.
Okay.
So there's no...
Can you override that?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Maybe you wanted more for your $20?
Yeah, no, I was just curious. It seems like, why wouldn't you be able to override that?
It's just, they're trying to keep this as simple as possible.
Simple, yeah. Okay.
And with film, you get a little bit of leeway anyway, and also, yeah, yeah. I thought about this. I thought, because I later on, it didn't matter to me. It wouldn't have affected my buying it. But I thought, you know, if you want to hack it, you can then mess with the ISO setting.
Right, right.
And then go over under. So you could basically, if you're shooting 100, you could tell it, oh, it's 25 ISO. And you're going to overexpose,
right?
If you wanted to, but yeah. I didn't really want to. But here's the other kicker with this thing: it's not a rangefinder. I thought it was a rangefinder, but the MC.
And explain the difference.
Well, SLR or a DSLR, digital SLR, but an SLR camera is basically, it stands for single lens reflex, which means.
Right, the mirror.
You're right. Looking through two mirrors. You're looking through one in the prism, and then it bounces down, and there's a mirror in front of the film plane. So you're looking through the lens. What you see is what you get.
Right.
And then when they take the picture, the mirror flips up, and you take the picture. With this, there is you're looking out the side of the camera. Like there's a little viewfinder off the side of the lens. So you can see kind of what you're framing up, but you don't get it exact. But it's close enough. For most stuff, it's close enough.
Okay.
But it's got a little leaf shutter and just a very quiet, just a little, it's a very, 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 very quiet little sound of the leaf shutter clicking, and that's it. And then
okay, now, why would that be your preference? Why would you want that?
It's all very simple and very small, compact.
So it makes for smaller, that's the biggest plus?
That's one of the things. For me, it's just really simple. I love the rangefinder cameras because, like, if you're going to do street photography, for me, that is the ultimate street photography camera, because you can just, you can set your focus, you can set everything, and just everything happens really quickly. You're inconspicuous. It's to me, it's just ideal. I happen to love that system.
So most perverts are using a rangefinder.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but no, okay. No, because well, you have to have like a something with a chain, you can put a different lens on there.
Okay.
So you have a longer lens. These lenses aren't good for perverts.
Okay.
As far as you know.
Okay.
But so with the rangefinder, essentially what you do is you look through the through the rangefinder part, the part you look through.
I guess that's a totally different thing. It's not a viewfinder.
Yeah, you look. I forget. I don't know what you call it, but you look through, and then off the side. Yeah, off the side is the second one that kind of gives you sort of a little bit of perspective, like your eyes would, right?
Okay.
And yeah. So now then you can focus. You can basically line up the two images come together in the rangefinder, in the viewfinder. It's a viewfinder. In the viewfinder, the images come together, and that's how you know you have focus. So it's actually really quite cool. Like, you don't see the focus in there because you're not looking through the lens, but right. It goes by distance. And so that's awesome. So I got home, thought that's what I had, and then quickly realized that this was the mini version, and there is no rangefinder in it at all.
Okay.
So there's markings on the barrel. For distance,
right,
and that's it.
Wow!
So you guess the focus. Yeah,
which is pretty. I mean, that's so different than what I'm used to. I would not be comfortable with that at all.
Really?
Yeah.
It's for me. It's when you shoot movie film, like back in the day, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. You have it all marked off, right?
Exactly. You're measuring from the film plane to the actor's eye, and then right. You're dialing it in. So it's not a crazy, concept for me,
right?
And not that I shot miles and miles of film. Film was dying as I entered film school. It was becoming it was just on its way out. So the fact that I don't even know. I bet they don't even shoot 16mm anymore. It's probably got to be all, with the red camera or something like that.
Right.
So anyway, but you'd still dial in focus like that. That's kind of the way to do it, is to measure it off. And so you have a pretty good idea. Well, it's an f2.8 lens up to f16. So as you can imagine, if you want to get focus, you want to nail the focus, you better shoot it around f8, f11. Because even if you miss,
you've got to give yourself enough wiggle room.
Sure, because even if you miss, you're still going to be within the range, and so
yeah, it'll be acceptable.
Yeah, so for it, this isn't like one camera for all things,
right?
So you're not going to be shooting, at a party, at wide open and try to get focus every time. It's just you're going to waste your time. But I popped a roll of 100 ISO black and white film in. And went. My father-in-law was running in the 10K here in Tübingen, and we go to watch him every year. And so I thought, oh, I'll just fire off a roll, just a test roll. I'm assuming I want to check for light leaks and whatnot, because it's an old camera, and generally the seals, the foam rubber seals, tend to break down over time.
Right.
And this one clearly had, like, it was gummy, like it's coming off in my hand. So I knew that going in that I'd have to replace that myself. And that's fine. Worth the money. But I just wanted to see if the exposure worked or if the battery worked. And so I fired off a roll of 36, and it works. Exposure works great. And surprisingly, no light leaks, even though there should be. It was a really, really, really leaky boat, but somehow didn't ruin the pictures. I'll still replace
it. Is the one of your daughter holding the little sign, and is that's one of the pictures?
No, that's in color.
That's two. Oh yeah, you said black and white.
Yeah.
I got you. I was going to say that's really good for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's crazy.
Yeah. So it's the Yashica one.
It's the Yashica one. That's one of my son.
Yeah, that one's garbage.
Yeah. Oh, is it just awful? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll set fire to it.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't like the guy running with his hair flying in behind him?
Not particularly.
Oh, no. You just ruined your Christmas present, buddy. Yeah. Anyway, as you can see,
your son's in focus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is everything's in focus? But out of the 36, now they're not like I just snapped away like on a bunch. Most of it was just they are crappy photos. Like I didn't take my time. I'm going to shoot art for an hour. I was busy doing other things, but I wanted to roll this off and shoot a bunch of different little tests and see if the exposure's right, see if it's in focus. And I got 35 out of 36 are in focus.
Good job.
One of them I missed. I tried one at f/2.8, and I missed by a little bit. And so, I know the limitations, but more importantly, the exposure's there. And so this is going to be a fun little camera just to take with me some places, and especially when I'm outside. And
okay.
Looks good next to the rest of the museum I have here.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that did that. And then the last thing in the What's Up department was on Chris Marquardt's show today.
Wow, big time! The big leagues call up to the to the big with the big boys,
and then sent right back down.
Yeah, back down.
Yeah, just a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
yeah. So, point being, go over to www.tfttf.com and check out my interview. Over there.
What were you talking about?
We talked about attribution. Like if you get your picture printed in the newspaper or on a blog or something, should they put your name photo by Adam Schwartz?
What's the Coles Notes version of it? What was the answer?
Honestly, my answer was I don't care.
Okay. What was his answer?
You're insane, is what he said.
Okay, he really thinks that the credit should always be given.
I think it should. I think it should as well. I just, don't really care.
Yeah, I'm kind of a feeling that I appreciate it when it is done. Like I do take notice of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't burn me if it's not.
So right.
I think I'm probably in a similar boat as to you. I do think it's probably the right thing. And if I was using someone else's image for something, I think it comes from, my background in terms of doing research. Like, it's almost like the biggest flaw you can make is not give credit. Like, if I'm citing an example, it always has to be given with the proper form as far as how you cite a reference so that someone can easily find it. And this is just the photographic version of that.
I agree.
Yeah.
But for all the non-Coles notes, go over there and have a listen.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week? I'm guessing work stuff.
I did zero. I have zero photos to account for in the last week. But other than my photo challenge, which I had to bribe my son with money.
I am tired of that because I'm in the same
$5.
Boat, man.
$5 to get my photo. My kids could absolutely not care less about a photo or something that dad needs a hand with. Yet I help them nonstop all the time, but they're just at that point when it comes to photos. Sarah, less than Jack, she'll help me out, in a pinch, but she was not around and I had a small window to complete this task, in which case if I tried to shoot a day for night on my own as a self-portrait, like it would have been just much more difficult. So I really wanted to do this quickly and I wanted to help her, but my kids suck when it comes to helping dad out now. They're not.
I see a theme developing. I see a theme developing, especially for this week.
Oh, okay.
Especially for this challenge, I think we're gonna have a "whose kids suck more" contest.
Okay.
On this week, so I guarantee you, my kids were more disappointing than yours, and yours cost money. Yours, you're out of pocket for this week.
Mine, it's gonna be close. Mine is not as simple as a happy cooperate. You're getting $5 for this. It was even not that easy.
Okay. As you mentioned, I did shoot. I did take my 40D with a 30mm lens to snap a photo of the race. Even though, just to go back to the picture you said of my daughter holding the sign.
Yeah.
I was bringing my film camera, but my wife pointed out that my daughter did make a sign for Opa Ren. That means Ron Opa, as you probably figured out.
I just thought she was not good at spelling.
No, she's good at spelling Ren. Yeah. And so I said, okay, I'm going to bring that camera just to make sure I get a nice picture of the sign. And we timed it. We waited for Opa to run by. And Opa's pretty smart. And here's the key. If you're running a 10K where they time you,
right?
Now here's how they do it. Here is everybody gets a little chip they put on their shoe or whatever they do.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So you don't just take off when the gun goes, because then you're in a crowd. He just hangs back behind the start line, and the chip doesn't start until he crosses the start line.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how you can get a picture of Opa. But I've had pictures of him every year. So I was like, I wasn't going to bring my camera, but brought it specifically for the sign. So I said, you know what? How about if I get two birds with one stone? We'll get Opa running by while my daughter's holding the sign. So fired it up to, I think this is at F16, focused on the sign, and wait till he ran right in front and snapped away.
The best part of this picture is that I swear it's like a split screen of, you know, Opa's there, and then the picture that your daughter drew of Opa, an uncanny resemblance.
She can see it in the future.
She's got a special talent there as far as artistry goes.
It's at one point you're not sure, okay, which one's the actual Opa.
I know.
Yeah. Because that, you think that's an exclamation point at first. That's actually his body, right? She drew right below him. If you look, that's his thigh gap. So, yeah.
Awesome.
That's why we call her Rembrandt. When really it's a Picasso. Let's be honest. It's kind of more of a Picasso than anything.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's impressive anyways.
Yeah. Well, she's six. There you go. All right. And then also, what else did I shoot? Oh, while I was shooting my aforementioned photo challenge, we had a really cool rain shower, but it was rainy and sunny. So I my kids were out playing in the puddles, and so I snapped a photo during the rain. Because it's rare that you can get the backlit rain during the daytime.
Right.
And so just the way the sun was coming in from behind, I thought, this is kind of a good opportunity. So I like the colors and threw that up there. I think the two takeaways here is that I used the 70-200 on a full frame.
Okay.
To get that look, and then made sure the sun was positioned behind them so that it backlit the rain. And then ended up using a lot of the save that we talked about a long time ago, pulling down those highlights, because the sun was pretty bright on the umbrellas, and I just managed to pull back almost all of that.
What's the sign in the background?
No parking.
That's what no parking looks like?
Yeah. But in Germany, they don't say no parking. They say, no parking!
I was looking at that sign going, what is that? That's an interesting looking sign. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I'm sure your in-laws are, well, they're here now, so I'm sure they're going to get a parking ticket because they won't know what that is either.
Yeah.
Assuming they're driving. And then the other one I shot, I just shot pictures of my kids, and this one's of my son. This one I like the best. It turns out window light is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some really nice window light coming in. And I said, hey, kids, why don't you sit here on the couch and put the 85 mil on the 5D class? No, that's not true. I had the 50 mil on the 5D Mark II because I think I was using live view because the depth of field was so narrow. I was shooting at like a 1.4 or 1.6. And my kids, they don't sit still, right? So if I there's no way I can do focus recompose at an f1.4 with them, and because they're just bouncing around like circus monkeys, and so I had to do live view and fire away. So that's what this is, 5D Mark II with the 50 mil.
Gotcha.
Love it. Just,
that's good.
It's. I mean, I have a bunch of pictures like this. So do you. What I'm saying to the listeners and what I tell everybody is, you want good pictures, go shoot by the window. The end.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Photo challenge this week. Well, first of all, photo challenge, the monthly challenge is going to be next week.
Oh, no.
I've shot 9 different versions. I just have to pick which one I like the best. No.
I feel like it's bearing down on me, and I have not attempted anything. So I'm now feeling it because I'm staring down the face mm-hmm. of another crazy work week, and I have to get it done this weekend. Otherwise, it's going to be me waving a candle around in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be that.
Remember how last time we did it and the show went long because we talked about everybody's photos?
Oh, yeah. We're not going to have that problem.
Yeah. Problem solved this week. Got that dialed in.
Maybe people will surprise us.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think we're good.
I think we're all set. I think it's going to be a 5-minute episode next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, remember that light painting is the September monthly challenge. Hashtag that. You know, don't bother. Don't bother hashtagging it. Adam will find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this week's photo challenge was another one of yours, which was not nearly as bad, but day for night.
Yeah.
Why day for night? What caused you to suggest that?
I was reading, I was thinking about some of the images in that book, the Gregory Heisler book. Mm-hmm. And there's one particular one early in the book, that he did of Muhammad Ali. And
yes.
It's kind of a shot that looks like he's standing in a field and it's supposed to look like moonlight, but then, you know, and it does look like moonlight, it's a black and white photo and it's a really cool looking photo. And then you read the description because he goes through, you know, thoughts on
that's the one in the snow, right? Image.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of an overcast day, shot midday, meant to look like moonlight. So he even uses the sun in the shot to look like moonlight and then just describes how he did it and just, you know, talks about a little bit of day for night technique. And mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, this is pretty cool and pretty awesome because sometimes, you know, you just want your shot to look different than what the light is giving you. And this is a cool way to take, you know, something overcast and turn it into something much more interesting.
Yes.
With a little bit of know-how.
I tried to replicate, duplicate, come within a airplane hangar of that photo.
Okay.
Kind of a year or two ago, we had a nice blanket of snow here and an overcast day, and I tried to shoot it. And it turns out he's a really good photographer. It was hard to do, and I did not succeed, and okay. I think I just canned those ones. But I will try again. And, you know, now that my kids are so cooperative, I'll try again.
Right?
No, they're not cooperative. All right. So day for night, it's a technique that started. I don't know if it started, but it was used heavily in movies because shooting at night is very, very difficult. Was very, very difficult because you didn't really have a lot of really good high ISO film, and so shooting at night became very, very difficult. You needed to be able to actually see the image. Even though it's night, you still have to see. You have to get some sort of an image. And so they would often shoot it in daytime and underexpose and pull the 85 filter, which is what they were using at the time. And now with the digital cinema, it's very common. Pretty much everybody shoots night for night. So it's kind of a lost art. It's also a Truffaut film about making movies. It's called Day for Night. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. So you want to go first or second? Up to you this week.
I'll go first.
All right, let's have a look at yours. Here's your son playing baseball at night.
Yep.
Counterintuitive.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, it could be under the lights.
Ah, okay. So that's what we're trying to replicate here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically did this exactly at noon. I think it's 5 minutes before noon. And the reason I did it when I did it was because we've been getting pretty clear skies here most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that shooting day for night on a clear sky day would be a very difficult task.
Right.
And in terms of what I had envisioned and what I wanted to do, I just thought, oh, how on earth can I make a clear, you know, midday sky look like night? And so I didn't want to deal with that situation. So there was a day here where it was quite cloudy and overcast. And I thought this is the situation for day for night. I want cloudy and overcast because I can really, you know, drop the exposure and then I can light him with light and I can, you know, play with white balance a bit and I can definitely make something look night. So I took him out to the just the field behind our house where there's a cage there, and or backstop, and I basically gelled the flash like we talked about, so orange flash, because then I knew I could make the background much more blue and night-like.
Mm-hmm.
So I gelled the flash. I went way down. Like I had to bring my aperture. I think it's something. This is something like an f/16 to knock the light down enough.
So what did you use for a light? I missed that part.
So for a light, this is a flash. Like okay. This is a bare flash where I gelled it. So one bare flash that's lighting him and the bat, mm-hmm. and then I have one flash down low that's a blue gel, and that's what's on his body that you see, you know, on the curves of his sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. You see some of that blue light, so I have one blue flash down low. I just wanted to make sure I could separate, because when I did this I thought, okay, well, the blue sweatshirt with the blue background, like I might not be able to kind of bring him away from the background enough, so I thought I'm gonna throw one flash down there, and that blue light on him will kind of give a little bit of separation. So I just have it sort of down and below him, camera right, and the flash up and higher than him, camera right, the orange flash that's lighting his face and his hands and whatnot. And so, yeah, just bring the aperture way down and then just full blast, bare flash to create enough light where I could actually light him, because the aperture so small,
mm-hmm.
You need a lot of light to illuminate your subject. So this is a full power flash, maybe 4 feet from him.
Yes.
And an f/16 or something like that with a 50 mil lens. And voila, this is what you get. The nice thing is, like, it doesn't go this blue, but then I can, because I've gelled the flash, I can play with the sliders to really bring down the blue in the background. So mm-hmm. I could use the color temperature slider and make this very blue and still keep his skin tones in a range where they should be for nighttime.
Well, it's what we talked about last week.
Yeah, so kind of a combination of those effects. And I look at this and I'm like, this really does look like night to me. So in terms of what I did, how simple it was, this was a very easy to accomplish image. And I think I'm on the right track here. This isn't something that I'm going to frame, but it's certainly, I could make something frameable with a little bit more time and energy.
Yes, and now how I would suggest you do that. Now, see, I didn't really... When I saw this, I just saw it just before we started recording today.
Yeah, I just put it in, yeah.
And so it'd be weird if I saw it a week ago.
Yeah.
Mm. So I honestly didn't know exactly what you were going for, because there's a couple things that take me out of it. Having played a number of night games, two things that are easy fixes for next time when you try it again. Is I would pull him, even though I know he's probably standing at home plate, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. I would cheat that and move him partway down the third baseline and create a little more space in behind, strictly because him being so close to the backstop, and I know the light is just like 4 feet from him, which means the fall off, the light falls off quickly by the time it gets to the backstop. So the backstop isn't very well lit, and that doesn't ring true if normally when you're playing baseball, those lights are up very high and very far away, and so thus there'll be zero fall off between you and the backstop.
Right.
And so it will be well lit. It'll even spill into the first few rows of the stands. But if you were to pull him forward a little bit, then your eye would sort of make that correction and say, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's a reasonable fall off. And the second thing is that when you are lit like this, when you light a baseball field, you will have multiple sources.
Right.
Meaning all around, like you have different banks of lights all around, so it would be okay. I would even put one up camera left and cross-light him, and you're going to have a couple of different shadows, but that's actually what you're going to get like at a really well, like at a lit baseball game.
Right.
You're going to see multiple shadows. So other than that, no. That other than that, it does look like day for night. Or does look like night, like a night game, and that blue sky really sells it.
And I just think, I mean, this is all I could convince him to do. Mm. I just think it looks cool. Like, forget realism or any of that. Like, I wasn't going for realism at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I even just think in terms of the just the cool look factor, like, I like the fact that it falls off so quick and you get that he is in front of a backstop, but you get that it's night, and kind of in my mind, this kind of looks like, okay, the last kid at the field just practicing. It doesn't have to be a well-lit game situation. In fact, he's wearing a hoodie, so mm-hmm. right away you're like, okay, this, I kind of thought as, oh, he's just, you know, just kind of a practice shot at night, like he likes to play and he stayed later than everyone else, and maybe there's one light out there which is, you know, kind of above and to the right, and that's kind of the effect that I was looking for. But I get all the things you're saying. I don't know that I, again, unless it was a team shot or something, that I would go that elaborate on a shot, because I still don't necessarily think it would be, with all the shadows, anything that I would put on the wall. Like, I like this. I'd almost black everything out here, and then I might even though it's not realistic either, I might even like it more. Sometimes, for me personally, I don't even care about the realism part. I just, mm-hmm. it's a cool factor shot.
True. No, it definitely is cool.
Yeah, and then just in terms of where the light comes across his hat and just shows the eyes, like, I just like how it turned out. I did maybe 6 or 7 shots, and this one definitely, to me, I like the best. Like, I did, you know, broad lighting, and then I moved the light around, and I did different things and shot from low to high. And again, this to me just was the one I liked, because you could see the logo on his chest, you could see his hat, you could see his hands and his bat. I like the little bits of blue that show up from that bottom light that are subtle, but still, like, it doesn't draw any attention to it, but mm-hmm. he brings out details in his clothes that I like.
Mm-hmm.
The jerk factor, because we were talking about why my kids are bigger jerks than yours.
Mm.
So I'm paying my son $5 to do this shot, right? I said 10 minutes. The park is like, I don't know, a 2-minute walk from our house. So to this backstop from our front door, if we walk quickly, 2.5 minutes, let's right. say. So we get there and I'm like, I will do this in 10 minutes. So he decides he's going to bring a tennis ball with him so that he can just kind of throw it up and hammer it into the fence while I'm setting up, which is fine. Right.
Uh-huh.
So I said, yeah, go ahead and do that. So I'm kind of setting up my gear and getting ready. And then he's, you know, hitting the ball into the backstop, and he's on the other side of the backstop, which is where I direct him to be. So I guess on one of the hits, he kind of, like, you know, hits it up and over the fence, and he goes around to get it. And I'm not paying any attention to him. I'm just still setting up my gear. And so then he comes around and he hits it into the fence on the side I'm sitting at and smokes it right into my nether regions. And and I lost my ever loving mind, right? I was just like, not crazy, but I was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you're smacking a ball, like, right close to me and all this equipment, like, you know better than that. He just starts crying, right?
Oh,
like,
no.
So he's crying, so even in this shot, if you look closely, his eyes are still, like, I don't know on the resolution I sent if you can see it, his eyes are still a little bit bloodshot from the crying.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm paying him, he almost kills me and my equipment. It does hit my camera when he smokes it off the thing, but it really hit me mostly in the sweet spot.
Right.
And so my $5 really paid for nothing more than aggravation, and he's crying, and I'm just like, I hate this.
Has he seen A League of Their Own?
No, I don't think he's seen.
There's no crying in baseball.
I know. I was so mad, and then afterwards, like, he shrugged it off pretty quick, because I'm like, you know, I'm over it. You didn't hurt me, but that was a bad decision, is what I said to him, right?
Yeah.
And so there you go. So that's what my $5 bought me. More aggravation.
Well, that's all right. That's a decent story.
Okay.
We'll be the judge of this. So here's my shot, my day for night. I didn't want to light mine. I kind of wanted to shoot just sort of actual, like, make it look kind of like in the dark.
Okay.
And so here's what I shot. I wanted to take, this is probably at like yourself, it's maybe 1:30 in the afternoon or something like that.
Okay.
But during that rainstorm, I said, oh, guys, this is great. Like, this is early in the week, too. It wasn't like I waited to the last minute this week, which I normally do. This was like on a Monday or Tuesday, and I said, oh, man, this is going to be sweet. Like, it's going to be so good. Not only will I win this one, I'll probably win the next 5 based on how good this one's going to be.
Okay.
So I get like, hey kids, let's go do this. And no, by the way, you know, I here's what we're gonna do. You guys get your gumboots on, get your umbrellas. We'll get outside. And I said to my daughter, I said, you're going to have a flashlight. I'm going to give you a flashlight. But this is day for night, right? So like you have to stop way down. This shot probably at F-16. Stop it right down in order to... If not, it would be at 1/4,000th of a second. Either way, a flashlight's not going to shine into the camera.
Right.
Like, it's just going to look like it's out of batteries. That's all. It's just like it's barely on. So, I can't use a flashlight. I'm going to use a flash. She's going to hold a flash and point it as if she's got a flashlight. It's a flashlight.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Just give me the Pulitzer now. So I get it all. I take the remote and I strap it to my flash. It's one of the ones I bought. One of the $20 flashes I bought at the same store I bought my Yashica. So it's not really the end of the world, but so I strap that on and then hand it to her. I don't tilt it down into the L formation. It's just straight like a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to her, now this downpour is massive and it's not going to last. So we got to hurry up. So I hand it to her, and I said, tell my son, go stand on the front lawn, and I tell my daughter, okay, here you go, I need you to go hold this. Now, here's what's important. Two things. One, I need you to hold it like a flashlight, and two, keep it under the umbrella. You got it, Daddy. You know, like, no problemo. And so she gets out there, and then she's just holding it next to her face, pointing straight up into the umbrella. And I said, no, and I'm kind of... I'm under the overhang in front of our house, so I don't get hosed on, but there's a little rain coming in, and so, you know, tick-tock, tick-tock. I said, no, point it to me like it's a flashlight. So it continues to hold it perpendicular to the ground, and then moves it from her face, just holds it straight out in the rain.
Right.
Pointing straight up into the sky. I said, no, point it at me. And just moves it over. Continues to point it up, but moves it over towards me now. And now it's just getting rained on. So I run out there and grab, no, here, hold it like this. Hold it like a, you know what a flashlight is, right?
Right.
And, yeah, no problem, Dad. So I run back, holds it up next to her face again. And at this point, I don't know if she's messing with me or if she needs a life helmet. either way, I have just completely failed as a parent. They're going to write books about what a horrible parent I am.
Right.
And so in the end, this is the best I could get. And she finally, I tipped it down and said, okay, don't point it at the camera. Point it off to the distance like you're looking at something. Like you and your brother are looking at something. Don't look at the camera. Now, my son ignored that advice in every shot. Just staring me down. What, Daddy? What? And my daughter would look off at something, but yet point the pretend flashlight in a different direction. Worst camper ever. Gonna be eaten by a bear, most likely. And so after like four or five of these, I just said, all right, well, we're done. Daddy's just gonna go take a long walk off a short pier. And that was it. And I had time. I had time to reshoot it. To reshoot my challenge, but I said no. I'm going to put this up there because it was just the most frustrating day of my life.
Right.
But it looks like nighttime.
Yeah, it looks like nighttime.
Yeah. It's a great photo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. It's funny. It's entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not for me.
You should force each of them to have this poster size in their bedroom.
Done. Already done.
You look at that. You look at that at night.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last thing I want you to see every night.
Every night.
This photo.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have the clown from It coming out of it. There you go. There you go. Yeah. And right next to it, I have a picture of me kicking a puppy. And I'm just like, that's because of you did this. You did this.
Yeah. Oh,
then I might win Dad of the Year at that point.
Yeah.
But either way, so I set the white balance at around 3,000, and that's what made it blue. And I was okay leaving. I didn't want to gel the flashlight because flashlights are generally this kind of cool color as well.
Yeah,
so sure. It would match with the moonlight that you're seeing.
There you go.
And my son just maintaining the illusion, just breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Hey, Ferris Bueller, what are you looking at? Move on with your day. All right. All right. So that's that.
All right.
Now, topic tonight. Today. Tonight? Is it tonight?
Sure. It's tonight for you.
What's a temporal shift with podcasting? All right. Is snobbery. That's what we're talking about,
you,
snobbery.
You should have this down pat.
Really? That's where you're going to go? No, I thought about it, though. As I was working around the house the other day, do you notice, first of all, like you have pictures on your walls?
Sure.
They kind of, eventually, they just become part of the wall, right? Like, I mean, you see them, but it's not like you appreciate them. You go, oh, yeah, you know, that was when my kid couldn't hold a flashlight. That's right. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Or do they kind of blend into you? They become your environment?
I think they're part of my environment, but, not to crap on your point here, but I do spend time staring at the photos, not every day,
right?
But I do. I just kind of look at the photos all the time, and I just kind of like either, why is that one still there? Or
right.
On the flip side of that, I'm like, oh, that's really good. I'm not even sure I could go out and get that now. Like sometimes you're just lucky, right?
Oh, sure. No, so that's the thing is I don't look at all the pictures every day. Like, you know, once in a while I'll look at one and go, you know, wow, I look great in that. Because most of the pictures on my wall are of me.
Right.
No, there's none. Maybe a family photo.
I got that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so I was looking at, I started looking at a few of the pictures and it occurred to me, I started kind of putting together and remembering when I took them and how I took them and started to notice a trend in the camera and lens combination that I used to take them. And I was kind of surprised to see how many on my wall, even like recent ones, how many were taken with the 40D and some with the 30mm lens, but even some that are older. I have a few on my wall that were taken with the 17-85 kit lens.
Okay.
And these are blown up. I'm talking like large 8x12 or larger that I have. What does that make? 12x18 or something like that.
Okay, now, can I offer a potential explanation?
Yes.
Probably you haven't framed as many recent photos because you run out of wall space.
But I am okay with cycling through, though. Every once in a while, I'll pull a photo out of a frame.
Yeah, me too.
And I do have plenty of wall space left, actually. But I hear what you're saying. That oftentimes that happens.
That's a problem for me, yeah. Like, I just don't turn over the photos anymore because I have lots of photos that I have listed in the I should frame these category, mm-hmm. except for I like the ones that are up, and then I lack the wall space to put a whole bunch more photos, so I'm kind of out of good spots. So something that I like would have to come down to put something else that I like, and I don't know, my kids are cuter when they're little as opposed to now.
Right.
Well, that's kind of how I feel. I'm like, whatever.
They're, now you got to pay them $5 to phone it in.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thanks, kids. Push comes to shove, I bet you Jack can hold a flashlight. But so anyways, that's a good theory. And it could be right. That's not what I'm getting at. The point is, I still like those photos. Like if I did not like those photos, they'd be yanked off the wall. And I would replace them because I've taken, you know, good photos since then. You know, you wouldn't know it from this week, but trust me, I've snapped a couple. But I thought about it, and I thought, why would you want to be a snob? Because a lot of people are snobby about the 40D. It's a what do you call it? It's a compact. No, what do you call the sensor?
Oh, it's yeah.
The APS-C.
APS-C. That's right. Yeah. It's a crop sensor.
Yeah, it's a crop sensor. No, I shoot full frame. Or it's that was shot with the 17-85, a kit lens. That's garbage. That lens is junk. And so that you hear a lot of that. And why? Why do you want to be a snob?
I don't know.
But you know some of the. I guarantee you know some of these people in other realms.
Yes.
You know guys, and I know you know, we share one person that we know at least, who is a skate snob.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the same guy, right?
My brother-in-law is a skate snob.
That's who I'm talking about. So who I have been friends with forever. And, he'll go play men's league and drop, you know, I don't know what he drops, 500 on a pair of...
Oh, more than that.
Oh, is it more? That hurts.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could spend more on that, but okay.
Oh, gosh. Skates have become really expensive. You can spend $800, no problem.
Well, he has no problem. Point being, to go play Div 3 men's league. And he's a good player. Like, he doesn't belong in Div 3 men's league, but he happens to plays with his friends or whatever. But he's the guy who, you know him. Ah, yeah, I can't skate on those. Those skates are awful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I got to have a one-piece. Got to have a one-piece stick. Do you? In men's league? I don't think you do. We have bat snobs. I mean, not to harp on him, but we have guys on our team who are our bat. Oh, no, I don't swing ash. I only swing maple. So well, you're striking out anyways. It doesn't matter what you swing. You go swing a cardboard tube. It doesn't matter. You don't hit the ball. You're hitting $1.80 in this league, son. So how about you swing what I tell you to swing? That's me being the snob on top of him. I'm out snobbing him. But that's the point. Is you get a, I hear a lot of that, and you know who you don't hear that from is guys who are good. Guys who are, well, your brother-in-law accepted, but because he is good. But most guys who are really confident and good are like, I can do it. I can perform with whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So, but the why I bring it up is we aren't.
That's even the ultimate level of snobbery.
What's that?
That I can. I'm good no matter what.
No, that's not. I.
Or maybe that's just cockiness. It's different than snobbery.
Arrogance, confidence, whatever it is. You call it what you want, but it's not being snobby. Like, oh, I only shoot with Nikon.
Right.
You
okay.
Know? Yeah. Like those guys are. This. My point is, we're not going to change those guys. So I'm not talking to the snobs out there who only do this or only do that, and there's no way, because you're never going to change their minds. They're dialed in. But for the other 99%, don't fall for their nonsense. And that's what this is. This is absolute nonsense.
But what's worse? Okay, so explain to me which you think is worse. The guy that, like you say, the super snob that will only shoot with, you know, the 5D Mark IV with the 85 1.2 lens, or the person that says, you know, nice photo, you must have a really nice camera.
Oh, who's worse?
To me, that's worse. That's even more belittling to the person who can, you know, get a good shot with the nifty 50 1.8 lens on, like you say, the 4DD camera that just happens to know what they're doing or knows good light or maybe gets lucky. But to explain away good done with little based on, oh, you must have spent a fortune on your gear. Or maybe that's a compliment. I don't know.
No, but that's the thing. You make a good point because I've heard that before. I've never thought of it in those terms before. I've never thought of it in terms of belittling or sort of minimizing your own accomplishments. I always thought it as the person who just didn't know what they're talking about. Which is probably the case anyway. And to some, in some respect, the guy who only shoots with the 5D Mark IV and the 85 1.2, he probably doesn't know what he's talking about either, but he knows just enough to be dangerous.
Right.
Like, and so that's interesting. In terms of who I would rather talk to at a party, which is nobody, but I could put up with the you must have a nice camera guy.
But what do you ever, you know, read much into the person who also, I mean, now I'm going off on a tangent, so, you know, stop me if you don't want to go down this road, but what lens did you take that with?
No, I always tell people.
No, I have no problem telling them, but I also kind of want to say, well, you know, for most of these, it's like, all right, I could have gotten that shot pretty much with an 85. I could have got it with a 7200. I could have got it with a 100 millimeter prime. I probably could have got pretty darn close with a 50 millimeter. It's not really a lens, and it's not that I spent $1,400 and I bought the 50 millimeter 1.2. It's none of that. It's just, hey, put yourself in a good situation. And really, I mean, yes, the lens does matter, but it doesn't matter. You're putting too much emphasis on that.
It does matter. But here's the thing, is back when I first started out and I first started listening to other podcasts, I always heard guys say that, oh, yeah, nah, the equipment doesn't matter. But those guys were all talking that, ah, it doesn't matter, but I have a $10,000 setup.
Right.
Well, if it doesn't matter, why aren't you, you know, using a rock and a piece of glass? You know, you're using the best camera that you can get.
Right.
Now, so I always said it. I still sort of stand by it that yeah, your equipment absolutely matters.
Yeah.
To a point.
Right.
To a point. Like, you don't want to go out there, you know, with just some little point and shoot that doesn't handle anything. That's not going to do anything. And you know, if it comes down to, you know, 50 millimeter f1.4 versus the 1.2, yeah, get the 1.4. If you have to think about it, get the 1.4. It's going to be great. So in that respect, I don't think the lens matters. Like I said, up to a point. You don't want the very, very bare minimum setup, but just above that, you're going to do just fine. And after that, the gear does not matter. So, what was your question? Which guy do I put? Oh, the lens.
Another thing where I feel like it's a little bit misdirected. I mean, to me, again, it goes along the same lines as, are you you're basically saying that the only reason I can achieve that is because I have that lens? When you're asking which lens, and maybe I'm reading too much into the question, but I always feel like, don't just run out and buy that lens because I got a good shot with it,
right?
Because I can get a good shot with my iPhone too, right? So it's a lot of, and again, I'm happy to say, oh yeah, I shot it with the 50 millimeter 1.4. But what information are you really gathering from that? Because I think it's a question of, oh, I guess I should just buy that because you were able to get a good shot.
I have to consider the source of the question, because a lot of times, you know, people will ask. I have a couple of people that I know that will ask on Facebook even and say, what lens? And what, you know, what's the aperture? And I'll tell them, because I know that, you know, they're big fans of Exifoku and they're just working backwards. No, but they are reverse engineering it, and I like to reverse engineer things myself. You know,
yeah.
Like I'll see a nice vanity in someone's house and say, you know, yeah, what was the blade on the table saw? Was that carbide?
Right.
Yeah, I can tell by the cut. Yeah. But I do like to reverse engineer and say, okay, if I were to do that, you know, how did you do this? Do I need that lens, or could I accomplish that with something else? And I have the sort of the mind that like you would to say, okay, well, he shot that with the 70-200. I have the 85. I bet you I could do that. I could replicate that. And so there is something to that. It's not a situation of, oh, yeah, man, lucky you bought that lens.
Yeah. No, and I don't think that's the case. I just, it's the, when I look at a photo that I really like that someone took, mm-hmm. never is that a question at all that I care about is which lens did you take it with.
Right.
I don't know. It just,
yeah, that, but you know, though.
It doesn't.
You.
I guess I do, but even if I don't. Yeah, I can ballpark it based on, like you say, what you see in the frame. But still, it's just not, like, that's not an important detail to me. And I don't care whether you shot it with the Tamron or a Canon or a Sigma. Or, like, none of that really matters.
Tamron has fringing at the hazing. What do you call that nonsense? These are the words I don't even pay attention to anymore. All those stupid buzzwords that you used to hear online about, remember the Sigma 30 mil lens that we had. I still do, but you sold yours. Remember, it was, oh yeah, did you get a good copy with the front focus? What? Mine just, no. Mine focuses. What is your problem? Like, you're a snob, man. Or the, what do you call it when you get the little purple halo around? I don't even know, because I pay so little attention. Chromatic aberration, is what it's called.
Right, yeah.
I pay so little attention to that, and by that I mean zero. That when if people bring that up, oh yeah, well, everybody knows the Tamron 16-200, chromatic aberration, that'll kick you in the pants. Like, forget to, you can walk away. You can dump your drink on that guy's lap at the party and walk away.
Right.
Because A, he's not going to fight, and B, he's got nothing else to offer.
Right.
That's a snob. Avoid those guys.
Okay, good advice.
Now, however, I'm kind of a prime lens snob. I do use zoom lenses, so maybe I'm not really a snob, but I do prefer prime lenses, just, hey, you know, so
that's... But that's more of a simplicity standpoint and a preference. Like, that's not saying, you know, I'm better than you, and I only do this because, you know, it costs more or whatever. It's less accessible. Like, that's just, to me, that's just a preference in terms of it's simpler. Like, yes. Shooting with a prime lens is simpler, and I don't think anybody can argue that, right?
That guy's gonna, the chromatic aberration okay. guy's gonna argue.
Yeah, I don't have to walk back and forth. I can just zoom in.
You zoom with your feet, dude. I do have a shot with my 70-200. I have a zoom lens, and I have a 17-40, which I shoot occasionally, you know. So I'm not a complete, you know, prime guy, but bulk of my stuff.
Right.
Now, the other important aspect is, A, avoid these people, but B, I'm not suggesting that you lower your standards and go, all right, well, I'm just going to shoot. I'll just shoot with the 17-55 f/5.6 kit lens, and it'll be good enough. I'm not suggesting that at all. You know? I want, yeah. like, the photos on my wall that were taken with the quote-unquote inferior crappy camera and the kit lens, they're actually good photos. And I know that you would even, you know, like... Not that even you, but this isn't me being subjective. It's objectively, they're good photos. There's nothing like you would see them. You would buy it in a store.
I wouldn't buy it.
You wouldn't buy it. You might buy it. You might buy one of them. You might buy one of them.
Maybe at the flea market, I'd buy it.
Ironically, and just to just to take it home and dump something on it. But point being is if these were hanging in like in a shop, you wouldn't look twice. You wouldn't think, what is that doing here? You know. Right. All right, give me one of those Farrah Fawcett in the red bathing suits. You wouldn't be doing that, okay? So, but my point is, these photos are good. They're not good fora. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, that's a good photo for a kit lens.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
You would never look at that. You just go, oh, yeah, that's great. I'll take two. But, which is why when I still play baseball, I told the guys, they like to make old guy jokes about me. Which I'm fine with. I'm totally fine. I'm under no illusion that I'm a whippersnapper.
You're the Jaromir Jagr of the German league, the German baseball league.
Yes, my hair is just as dark as his. Right. No, but the point is I told the guys at the beginning, like the guys who run the team, the head coaches. I said, I'll take the jokes. I don't care. However, I don't want to be good for an old guy. I want to be good
right.
because I want to be on the team and I want to be one of the best hitters, et cetera, et cetera. I want to be good, and that's the deal.
I understand your point. I think you should be number 68 next season. Nobody will get it.
Yes, I don't think I'll be doing that. I'm going to keep number 8.
But 68.
68. I'll talk to number still 6. Keep just stand close. Just stand close.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that. So there you go. That's snobbery. In a nutshell. Photo challenge for next week is our monthly challenge for September, and that is light painting. Now, I'm going to snob you and say, I don't like doing this.
Mine's going to suck.
It's going to be a race to the bottom. I can imagine, I don't want to spoil it, but I imagine next week it's just going to be a simple snapshot of me giving you the middle finger.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. No light painting whatsoever.
Yeah.
So there's that.
You could tape a candle onto the end of your finger and then wave it back and forth, and then it would be super cool.
That'd be art. Yeah. So listen up, everybody. You only have a week to get your submissions in. Tick-tock. Please prove Adam wrong and do one.
Sure. Yeah. Let's aim for 5.
Yeah.
That's including ours. So that's 3 other submissions.
Yeah.
For those keeping track at home.
For those doing the math. It's Common Core, so don't know.
Yeah.
Could get confusing. All right. And make sure to hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on the Instagram. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And your stuff?
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com and the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.